Yeah, I'm so glad to see you this morning. It is a good day. It is a glorious day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, I believe, Pastor Jeff, that the thing that we talked about last night, you know, you actually, you said it in a scripture. For God is able to, God is able to give us wealth, right? You know, his grace will cause us. Like, that's one of the things that grace actually does, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may be able to give into every good work. Amen. That makes you a distribution center, right? There's stuff, there's wealth coming in and there's wealth going out. You know, that's one way to put it. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Amen. So, you know, we decided a long time ago that we were going to be distribution centers. We're going to be sowers. You know, he gives seed to the sower. He doesn't just give seed to anyone. He gives seed to the sower. You know, in the same way that he gives wisdom to the wise. I remember reading Daniel, and, you know, Daniel talked about the Lord. He said, "You give wisdom to the wise." So I asked the Lord, shouldn't you give wisdom to the dummy? He's the one that really needs it. It's the dummy that needs wisdom. But I find it interesting that he gives wisdom to the wise. You know what that means? You're going to have to set your heart first to be a wise person before he will minister wisdom to you. Amen. I mean, if he would give wisdom to the dummy, the whole world would be pretty wise, right? But in order to receive wisdom, you're going to have to set your heart. Lord, I am desiring your wisdom. So the same thing with the sower, right? You're going to have to set your heart on the fact that you are a sower. Now, you can have your heart set to be a sower and not have anything. Right? But if you set your heart to be a sower, he'll give seed to the sower. Amen. Amen. So that's just a part of the kingdom of God. But I believe that we're living in those days. If you want to know what time it is, well, yes, it's end time. But before we see all the real bad stuff, I believe there's going to be a huge revival yet. And the wealth of the wicked is coming into the hands of the just. Why? So we can become more comfortable. And, you know, instead of being in church on Sunday mornings, we can be on the lake. Well, no, of course not. It is really meant to bring in the harvest. And it takes money, right? It just takes a lot of wealth to get the harvest in. If you don't believe that, just go into the country. During the fall season in our province, you see major equipment, very expensive equipment. You know, you could do it by hand. You know, you could send a farmer out there, you know, with just a sickle and let him do it by hand. But, you know, he's not going to get the job done. You could put 100 farmers in that land, you know, in a section of land of wheat or barley or whatever, you know. They might get the job done, I'm not sure. But it's going to be very difficult. That's the reason why we have big equipment. But it's also very expensive. So I believe in the last days, you know, there are some godly combines coming out.
Amen.
Amen. But it's expensive. Amen. It's just expensive to handle. But, you know, that's not going to bother us. You know, we're not going to look at how expensive it is, because we are sowers and we're interested in God's agenda. Amen. We're interested in God's agenda. I remember just a few weeks ago I talked about that first, right? What is first in your life? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you like those things to be added unto you, wouldn't it be good for us to seek first the kingdom of God? That would mean you're going to have to get on God's agenda. Right, he's got a calendar, he's got an agenda, and rather than me fighting it, I used to fight it. You know, in my days that I was not born again, I was fighting it. I didn't want to know about that date, because if I knew about that date that he's coming back, it messes up what I had in store for myself. right? So his calendar messed up my calendar. But, you know, but my life became a whole lot better when I aligned my calendar with his calendar. Amen. My life became a whole lot more, a whole lot better when I aligned my desires with his desires. Right? And it's not difficult. It's not rocket science. You know, you just got to, you know, read your Bible, pray so that you know. Praise God. It's actually pretty straightforward. All right. Anyway, that's not our topic, but I thought it'd be a little exhortation. Amen. We're going to talk about end times again. Up to now, we've really been talking about the rapture of the church, because it just seems easier for me that once you really have a good handle on what the rapture of the church is all about, it's a whole lot easier to talk about the second coming of the Lord. Because some of you know, as we said over this past few days, there are differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming. Amen. No, that's not something that I always knew. I thought when Jesus comes, it's all over. I have no idea how it all is going to pan out. You know, I remember people would ask me questions such as, are you pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib? I said, I'm pan-trib. When we get there, it'll all pan out. I don't know. You know, but the nice thing about it is once you know, again, then you can align yourself with the plan of God. And instead of just being a neutral flow, even, I don't want to be a neutral part of that flow. I want to be one of that causes the flow. Amen. I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be neutral. I want to be a positive influence in the flow of God. Amen. And if you want to be that way, it requires of you that you align yourself. Amen. So it's pretty straightforward. So we've been talking about the rapture, and talking about end times really is based on, just like any other topic, on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul, he encouraged his protege, Timothy, to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. So if we are able to rightly divide the word of truth, that would stand to reason there's got to be some dividing lines within the scriptures that we could look at and see, hey, there's a dividing line here. I mentioned the cross of Calvary would be a dividing line. Everything before the cross paints a different picture than after the cross. As a matter of fact, one person told me one time, you know, she said, I don't have any problem with the God of the New Testament. I have a problem with the God of the Old Testament, she said. And, you know, I can understand what she meant with that. But it's the same God. He just approached people different before the cross than after the cross. Because after the cross, the price has been paid in full. Amen. The price of sin has been paid in full. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are no longer saved by any old thing that we can come up with. So that's a different picture. So the cross of Jesus Christ would be a major dividing line. But have you ever noticed that there are still church and entire church groups and denominations who are still living as though we are prior to the cross or before the cross? So you can't be a New Testament church unless you are able to paint the picture for people what happened after the cross. Amen. So one way to put it is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Praise the Lord. So we're living in the New Testament, and you know, we have received a revelation from heaven, praise God, that brings us the gospel, the jumping up and down good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just gospel as meaning good news. You know, well, it is good news, but if you really get it, you'd be running around the building. Amen. That's how good it is in every aspect of your life. Your past has been dealt with. Your presence looks glorious. And every day we go from glory to glory to glory unto that perfect day. And after that, it's getting better again. Praise the Lord. So that's a good thing. John 10:10 would be a major dividing line. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the work of the devil. I am come, Jesus said, in contrast, but I am come that they might have life and that more abundantly. Amen. So that's a dividing line. Everything that's got to do with killing and destroying and stealing is of the devil. And everything that's got to do with life and that more abundantly is of God. And the two can never meet. But yet we have a lot of people that think that God is involved somehow with the killing, the stealing, and destroying to teach people a lesson or to make them more pious, or what doesn't kill you will make you stronger, right? All these kind of sayings, but they don't hold up to the New Testament truth that God gives you life and that more abundantly. Amen. And then we talked in detail about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, where Paul said, don't give any offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, or the heathen, or the nations would be the best translation, nor to the church of God. So obviously God has dealings with three groups of people, and he has messages for three groups of people. He has dealings and specific messages for the nation of Israel, but he's also got a specific message and dealings with the nations. Amen. That's in line with how they treat the nation of Israel. I will bless them who will bless you, he told Abraham. And then, of course, he's got dealings and specific messages for the church. Amen. And so as long as you can keep that in line, then you'll be able to figure out what your end time is like. So we spent 5 hours on the end time for the church, because I believe that, well, that's who we are. Right, you may have been a Jew, you may have been a Gentile, but if you're born again, you have been taken out of these nations and you have become a part of a new nation, a holy nation, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are no longer to identify ourselves with our past, meaning, you know, your nation or your culture. You know, we are to identify ourselves with our new nation, which is the church. That does not mean, you know, you cannot talk about your past, you know, about your identity or so. That'd be fine. But you know what I'm talking about? We are to identify ourselves mainly with the fact that we are the body of Christ. We have become a brand new nation, a holy nation with different rules. Amen. With different agendas, with different mandates, and so on. Okay, so having said that, I believe that we can safely talk about the nation of Israel and not get mixed up with the church. Amen. Does that make sense to you? I remember, I believe I've already stated this, but I remember someone got a little bit offended with me and took me for lunch because they wanted to know, you know, because I made the statement that if you want to know as a believer your end time, you're going to have to go with what Paul said about the end times and not by what Jesus said about the end times in Matthew chapter 24. So they took me out for lunch and they were pretty miffed, actually. Like, are you saying that what Paul said is more important than what Jesus said about the end times? I said, well, no, I didn't say it's more important, but they reach different target audiences, right? Paul is talking to New Testament believers, but, you know, I quoted 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's still Jesus talking. Because he said, this we say by the word of the Lord. So it's still Jesus talking. It's just that he has chosen in these last days to talk through his body, his apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You could say they're the mouthpiece for the Lord. No, that doesn't mean that anybody else can't talk for him. But, you know, their assignment is to preach. Is to bring this good news to the masses. Would you agree with that? Amen. So, and what Jesus said is really specifically for the nation of Israel. In fact, it is a prophecy for the nation of Israel that if they read it, they will be able to steer clear from the Antichrist and his cohorts. They'll be able to stay clear from a certain death if they pay attention to what Jesus said. Amen. So that's a pretty powerful prophecy. But we, you and I, we don't fit there. Everything in the Bible is for you, but not everything in the Bible is about you. Amen. Okay, so let's talk about Israel in prophecy, what Jesus said about the end times. For the last 5 hours, we talked about what Paul said about the end times. So let's try to find out what Jesus had to say about the end times. And actually, all I'm going to do is read Matthew chapter 24 for this time period. You know, you can get into a whole lot more detail as well, go back into Daniel. But I thought that might be a little heavy duty for a Sunday morning. But we can talk about what Jesus had to say in the Gospel of Matthew. So let me give you a little bit of background. You know, how many of you know that Matthew chapter 24 comes right after 23? Right? So in chapter 23, he's talking to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to the lawyers, to the scribes. So a whole lot of people who were against him. They basically rejected Jesus as their Messiah, and they rejected his message of the kingdom. So he's walking out. He is walking out, and he basically said, I've wanted to reach out to you. I wanted to gather you just like a root, or just like a chicken with her hens, but I was not able to. So from now on, you're going to be desolate. You know, from now on, I'm going to leave you alone, and I'm not going to come back to you. I'm going to go back to my place, as prophesied in Hosea. I'm going to go back to my place, and I'm not going to come back to you, O nation of Israel, unless you welcome me, and unless you will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So that's the background. So he's walking away from Jerusalem, and as Jesus went out in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, and departed from the temple, his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. They probably thought, you know what, he's a little miffed, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the temple. So Jesus didn't miss a beat. He said, don't you see all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That's part of the desolation that happened, right? It's part of the desolation. And that happened in the year 70 AD. Then, you know, Jerusalem and the temple were overthrown. And as he sat upon the Mountain of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And you remember we already established the word world many times means age or dispensation. We're living in the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church. But that's not the dispensation that they are referring to. They don't even know about the church, right? Does that make sense? They don't even know anything about the church. It's not common knowledge. At that moment, the church had not even started yet. So what age or what dispensation would they be talking about? It is the dispensation of the Jewish age or the Jewish age, right? So when they ask what shall be the end of the world, they're not talking about the end of the world that sometimes people say. They're specifically asking what shall be the end of the Jewish age. That's what they're asking. And what is it going to look like? What is the sign of your coming? Obviously, they do know that he's coming at the end of the Jewish age. So Jesus is going to answer those questions. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, he said, that no man deceive you. So obviously, one of the biggest things that's going to happen in that time frame when he's coming back, or the end of the Jewish age, you could call it the tribulation period. You know, if you read Daniel, it is a period of 7 years, right? 7 years split up in tribulation and great tribulation. 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of great tribulation, or 42 months and 42 months, Or if you don't like that, 1260 days and 1260 days. It's pretty accurate. It's all over the Bible, these kind of numbers. So he is saying in that time frame, in the tribulation period, the end of the Jewish age, there's still a seven-year period left. The other, it's a part of the 7 times 70, the 490 years. 483 years have already happened, but the last 7 years have not occurred yet. And it can't happen until the Antichrist is going to sign the covenant. And as we saw already over the past 5 hours, that's not going to happen until the church is gone. Right? We are still the restraining force. Yes. Yes. Amen. We are the restraining force. Nothing is going to happen without us. Right? And nothing will happen unless we're gone. Praise the Lord. So, I believe, I don't want to get into that. We already talked about that in much detail. I'm almost tempted to get back there because it's fun to talk about the demise of the Antichrist. But here Jesus says, take heed. He said, make sure that no man is going to deceive you. So obviously, deception is going to be the biggest weapon that the devil and the Antichrist have at that time frame. For, he said in verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, right here, you can see that's not the church age. Right? Because we already know who the Christ is. His name is Jesus. He is the Messiah. But the problem with the nation of Israel is they don't know that. They have not accepted Jesus as their Messiah. So in their mind, he's still coming. But as you well know from the prophecies, he's still coming from among, in their mind, in the Jewish mind, he's still coming from among them. Right? He's still coming from among them. And because they have missed the first coming of the Lord, they are still looking for Jesus to come from among them. It opens up their nation for great deception. Because anybody can now say, I'm Christ. And that's exactly what's going to happen. They have missed Jesus' first coming. So Jesus is going to warn them, don't look from among you for him coming. Because if I'm coming, I'm coming from a total different place. I'm coming from the heavens. Right? He is just giving them a warning that if someone tells you I am Christ, don't fall for it. Because you will know when I'm coming. You will not miss it. You will not miss it when I'm coming. You just got to make it until the end of that period. That's the big thing. You're not going to miss it. Same thing as the rapture. You have to be an absolute fool to miss it. Right? It's not something that God is going to do in a back alley or in the corner of a street. It's going to be so open. You know, anybody can be a part of it. All you got to do is be willing to accept that. Amen. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end, what end are we talking about? The end of the Jewish age, the tribulation period, is not yet. Well, we already see that now. We already are living in wars and rumors of wars, but I would imagine it's only going to intensify even during the tribulation period. And then he said, for nation shall rise against nation. Really, ethnic group shall rise up against ethnic group is a little better translation. Kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Well, we already see that now. And obviously that is intensifying. So I can only see it intensify even more yet during the tribulation period. Does that make sense? Verse 8, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrow literally means birth pains. It's like the earth is giving birth to something new. Amen. And the earth is giving birth to something new. We're going to go into the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be totally different. Totally different. The lamb can lie with a lion. You know, kids can play with snakes again. You know, longevity till up to 1,000 years is going to be restored again. So it's going to be a different picture when Jesus is going to be installed, so to speak, as the Lord of this earth. He's going to establish his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on this earth. So it's going to be new. But until that time, all the stuff that we're going through and the earth is going through are called birth pains or sorrows. Then he said in verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Again, that's not a church scripture. It's true. I mean, nations do hate us, but not entire nations. Do you know what I mean? So this is a nation of Israel scripture. You know, nations will hate the nation of Israel. You can see that already now. Now, they don't hate them now because of Jesus. They hate him for different causes, but there's a time coming that the nation of Israel will be hated for the Lord's sake. So obviously there's going to have to be some type of a revival coming in the nation of Israel. And I believe that's been prophesied with 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe are going to go into the nation of Israel, probably around the world, and they're going to bring in a huge tribulation harvest. It's not the church, but it is still a huge harvest of people during the tribulation period. So again, it's not all doom and gloom. Amen. It's just a lot tougher and rougher to live during the time frame, you know, because there's a good chance you're going to get killed. And many people will because of the Lord's sake. But there's going to be a huge harvest coming out of that as well. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You know, we've seen signs of it already, right? During COVID, right? I found it amazing that, you know, people would phone snitch lines. You know, we had people on Mother's Day and, you know, in 2020, Mother's Day, you know, we got our family coming over. I mean, nobody can stop our family. They're coming over, right? But we had people driving by and they would stop in front of our house and take pictures, you know, before and after. You know, because they know we always have people over. So they came by our house. We saw them stop. I first thought, maybe they're going to send us an offer on our house. Who knows why they're doing that. I found it amazing that they were taking pictures. But then they came back in the afternoon and took some pictures again and then sped off. Like I was going to go talk to them because I, you know, like what, you know, you're welcome to take pictures, but why? But we, you know, afterwards we found out they wanted to show whoever is in charge, you know, how many people we had over, which was not legal at the time. I'm thinking, come on, people. Really? Really? Do you have to be like that? You know, so it doesn't take much for people to turn on one another, does it? It's pretty amazing. So that's going to happen during the tribulation period. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because, now notice this, I find this a very clear scripture that shows you that this is not the church age whatsoever. How do I know? Well, let's see. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax or grow cold. Well, that's true for the tribulation period. In our age, in the church age, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Right where there's sin, there's a lot more grace. During this time where sin abounds, the love of many is going to grow cold. Just the opposite. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end of what? Unto the end of the Jewish age shall be saved. That's not a church scripture. Because we are saved through the blood of Jesus. By acknowledging that Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. You know, we don't have to endure until some end for us to be saved. But the nation of Israel, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to make it to the end of the Jewish age. So that's why Jesus is warning them, if you want to make it to the end, you know, make sure you're not going to get deceived by false prophets and by false Christ who are saying, I am here or I am there. Meet me over here or meet me over there. Because if you do, you're going to fall into a trap that the Antichrist has put out for you. You're going to get killed. Don't fall for it. Makes sense, right? Let's keep reading. So that's not a church scripture. He that shall endure unto the end. Now, we've said it. If you endure till the end of Bible school or whatever, you'll be saved. But, you know, that's not accurate. He who shall endure until the end of the Jewish age, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's not a church scripture. People use it a lot and saying, you know, well, Jesus can't come back for the church until we've preached the gospel unto all nations. That's not true. Jesus can come back at any time. Right? But this is for the nation of Israel. So what are they going to preach? They're going to preach the kingdom message. They're going to bring the kingdom message around the world. Well, why would that be? Well, the next prophetic thing is the kingdom of heaven is going to come down. You better get ready. You better get your life in order. You better get your agenda in order. Because when it is going to come, every other kingdom is going to be pulverized. Right? So you better get ready for the kingdom from heaven to come on this earth. So that's why there are messengers out there. Jesus is sending messengers throughout the world to prepare the world for the coming kingdom. Now, we preach in a way. We preach the kingdom. Don't get me wrong. You know, we preach the kingdom of God. But really, the tangible version of the kingdom of God is the local church. Amen? So, But then the kingdom of God literally is going to come on this earth. So he says, verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. With other words, Jesus knows that this prophecy is going to be written down. So he's letting people know up front. If you read this prophecy and you see this happening, you see the abomination of desolation. Now we're halfway the tribulation period when the Antichrist is going to set his throne into the temple. Right? That's the halfway mark. That's the halfway period. If you thought it was bad up till now, it's going to get real bad now. Right? It's going to get real bad now. When you see that happening, he's talking to the nation of Israel. He's not talking to the church. And he's telling them, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So don't spiritualize that now you got to flee into the Rocky Mountains or some other mountain range in order to be saved from the Antichrist. You may laugh, but I know people. You know, we have neighbors whose kids, they have fled to Fernie and some other places because during COVID, they got very scared of we are now living in the tribulation period. So this is not an uncommon thing, you know. So it's, I don't want to say it's a common thing, but there are people out there that think that we got to run for the hills, right? We got to run for the hills. Well, if we put it in context, again, Jesus is talking to the nation of Israel. He's not talking to us. In order for us to qualify, we literally would have to move to Israel to flee to the mountains of Judea. So I got good news for you. You don't have to flee anything. You can stay right here. Stay at home. Praise the Lord, and be part of the church. Amen. The restraining force. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. With other words, you know, mamas with little children, it's going to be difficult. They can do it, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to move. And pray, he says, that your flight be not in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day. Again, specifically for the nation of Israel. Right? Not everybody qualifies. Not everybody around the world has winter. Amen. And we don't really celebrate the Sabbath day either. It's specifically for the nation of Israel. For then, Jesus said, there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Thank God there's a little bit of flexibility, right, in those days. There's a little bit of flexibility in those days. Then, verse 23, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, actually it says if possible, the it were is not there, they added that to it. With other words, it's possible to deceive some of the elect. They shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. So Jesus is also an end time preacher, just like Paul said, don't you remember that I told you these things? So he was an end time preacher. Amen. So it really doesn't matter what generation you're in. We got to bring the end time message, don't we? Right? Because it's part and parcel of the gospel. Amen. It's not just exciting prophecy. It is. But it's got to do with the gospel of your salvation. Praise the Lord. That if you know about it and you stay clear from what Jesus warned us about, or what Jesus is telling the nation of Israel, if they stay clear from it, praise God, they're going to be saved until the end and go right into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go there. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. With other words, if they're telling you, you know, he's over there, he's at the Holiday Inn over here, he's going to have a message over there, or he's going to have a camp meeting over there, don't fall for any of that stuff, because if you do, basically, you're going to fall into the hand of the Antichrist. You're going to get killed. Because he says in the next verse, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming from heaven. He's coming from a different place. But the nation of Israel does not know that. They're still looking from among them, like I said. So that's why it's easy to deceive them. Jesus even said, in John chapter 5, he said, I didn't come in my own name. He said, I'm coming in the name of my Father. But he said, he prophesied already, but there's one coming who's coming in his own name. Him you will receive. Interesting, isn't it? He knows where everything is heading. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation, so thank God there's an end of the tribulation period. At the end of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Oh, I tell you what, that's quite something. Wouldn't it be? Won't it be? The man, just think about it. You know, the sun is not shining. The moon is not shining. The stars are falling down from heaven. Praise the Lord. The powers of the heavens shall be shaking. We're not just talking about an earth shaking event. This is a heaven shaking event. You know, people have said in the past, you know, as long as the sky doesn't fall, well, during that time frame, the sky is going to fall right on top of them. That's got to be a scary sight, wouldn't it be, when you see some stars coming towards you? Anyway, and verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Again, that's not a church scripture, because we gather ourselves. Right, we are gathering our own selves, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, especially since you see the day approaching. But in the at the end of the age of the nation of Israel, angels are going to be involved in gathering all the Jewish people back to their homeland. Praise the Lord. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Well, it's maybe not as near as we'd like it to be, but how many of you can tell? It's getting closer, right? It is definitely getting closer. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Again, that's not a rapture scripture or a church scripture. It's a scripture for the nation of Israel. We will know the day of the hour. It's our wedding. Praise the Lord. You ought to know the day and the hour of your when you're getting married. Amen. We have already been betrothed. We're engaged already, but there's a time coming that we're going to go with our Lord, amen, with our bridegroom to the heavens. We're going to have a party there for 7 years. So this is a little different story. But of the day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we often say that we don't know the end, right? We don't know the day nor the hour of the second coming. But I sometimes think, and you can judge that for yourself, this is not the gospel here. This is my opinion, an opinion that I like to give. I want to make very clear. It's my opinion that it could very well be that Jesus is not even talking about the day of the hour of the second coming, but he's talking about the day of the day that heaven and earth shall pass away. Right? I don't know. So that's why I'm not preaching it as gospel, but it's an opinion that I have. Because if I'm looking at the second coming, you know, you've heard me say it. It's 3.5 years until Daniel's desolation, abomination of desolation. You know, it's another 3.5 years after that. If that doesn't grab your fancy, then how about 1260 days on each side, right? I mean, it seems to be pretty accurate. It seems to be pretty accurate. So why wouldn't you know the day or the day and the hour of his second coming either? Now, I'm just throwing that up out there as a thought, not gospel, but a thought. Could it be that he's talking about that day and the hour knows no man when heaven and earth shall pass away? Anyway, it's just a thought. It's just you don't have to pay me. You can even take money away from me if you want to. Because it's neither here nor there. I just find it interesting, right, when I read it. But as the days of, now this is back to gospel, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we already talked about that. God worked with first fruits. He worked with models. He works with templates, right? If he's done it in the past, he's going to do it again. Right here, you can see what happened in the days of Noah is going to be repeated when Jesus is going to come back for the nation of Israel. So all you got to do is try to figure out what is it like. You know, all you got to do is read Genesis chapter 6 and see the horrible things that happened. You know, actually the book of Enoch talks about it in a little bit more detail than any other book. You know, it's a historical book. It's not been added to the Bible because they did not feel that it is an inspirational book, but it has value. It's got to have some value because Jude quoted from it. So you can't just quote from a book that has no value. Amen. So it talks about the days of Noah, because the days of Noah must have been quite something, you know, for a flood to come upon the face of the earth and wipe it all away. So he says, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, meaning removed from the earth. The other one left. The one that has been removed from the earth and is not so blessed. The one who's left on the earth is saved and will go into the millennial reign of Jesus. Amen. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, though that one is not so blessed. And the other one is going to be left. That one is blessed and is saved by going into the millennial reign of Jesus. Amen. And as we have seen, the rapture is just the opposite. Because if you're left, then you're not so blessed. And if you're taken, you are blessed. It's just the opposite, isn't it? So you can see this is not talking about the church. These are not rapture scriptures. These are tribulation scriptures, the end of the earth or the end of the age for the nation of Israel scriptures. Watch ye therefore, for you don't know what hour that your Lord is coming. So that is a warning, and it's kind of the similar warning that Jesus gave to one of the churches. He said, you know, hold fast, repent, make sure that you do all of those things. Because if you don't do it, he said, I'm going to come upon you as a thief, and you don't know. You won't know what hour I'm going to come upon you. But that would also mean if you do heed the warning that he will not come on you as a thief, and you will know the hour when he is coming. Amen. So I believe very much that as we get closer to that day, that the church, they will know, you know, they will know when the hour is near. Praise the Lord. So I trust you received something from this entire seminar. It's 6 hours, 5 hours on what Paul had to say about end times, 1 hour on what Jesus had to say. But on the other hand, when it's all said and done, it's still, but this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Amen. You know, we're not just making this up as we go. This is what's going to happen in our near future, and our future looks bright. Amen. Amen. Our future looks bright. You know, when you're in the world, I can see doom and gloom. I can see why people do what they're doing, and they're doing a lot of stuff. I even know of people that, you know, they bought themselves some guns, you know, they're practicing for when the time comes, they have to defend themselves. And who knows? I mean, that may be, but I'm not focusing in on any of that stuff. I'm focusing in on what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's me. That's us. Amen. He has prepared for us things, praise God, that you can't get, you can't see or understand it with your natural mind and understanding, but you can receive it by faith in your spirit, and it'll do flips. Amen. It'll do flips. So thank you for allowing me to be in your presence over this past weekend. I have enjoyed it very much. I was going to say something about our ministry. Let me do that really quick. You know, we've been in ministry since 1986 full time and pastored two churches. The one we came on as associate pastors, and then we started the church in 1992. We just gave that over in 2016 to our son and daughter-in-law, Joel and Jamie. And they're taking it to a brand new level, as they're supposed to, right? We tend to be more foundational, right? That's our grace. That's our strength. I'd like to go in other things, but it seems that the Lord is always He always gets us to go back to the ABCs. So that's where our heart is. That's where our strength is. And I believe that's always needed, you know, because you can only go as far or as high as your foundation is strong. Amen. Does that make sense? So we've been going out on the road since 2016. And, you know, we've preached in, I don't know, we've been in 28 different nations around the world, preaching the word in evangelistic settings. I've been in bars preaching the gospel. I've been in some beautiful church buildings to preach the gospel. I've been outside in the marketplace outside in smaller stadiums, you know, preaching the gospel. We've done it all. Pastors' conferences, camp meetings, you name it, we have done it, praise the Lord. But we also have gotten to the point now that we don't just want to go out and preach. We've done that. But now we want to preach and build with people, right? I believe that's very, very important. So we've got a few things on our hearts. You know, we're involved in starting an Impact Liberia, for instance. And an Impact Liberia would basically consist of a strong local church with a strong pastor who can do it. We want to attach a leadership training center to it. We don't want to call it a ministry training center, because then you only allow ministers to come. But we want to open it up for business people. And in one case in Ethiopia, we've got even politicians coming to the leadership training center. So I believe that's where we're heading more and more. And then also we want to see a humanitarian project added to it, such as medical. It could be a medical project. It could be an educational project. I would have thought in some of the nations in Africa that we're at that they would prefer a medical project, but they said, no, we would rather have an educational project, like a Christian education center. It kind of makes sense because, you know, if you educate people, then they can become the doctors and the nurses and everything else. So that kind of makes sense to me. We're not quite there yet that we can, make it happen, but we are certainly reaching out towards it. We've got the people in place. We have the people in place, let's put it that way. And then all it takes is the transfer of wealth, and we can buy the buildings, and we can do what we need to do. And I believe it will happen very shortly, praise the Lord. But in the meantime, we do what we can do. So we'll be starting a few impact centers around the world, Africa, in Australia. And they function as bases that we can operate from at the same time. Praise the Lord. All right, that's it. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff.